Bible reading is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
Happy New Year. Those first words of the reading that Anne's just gone through, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, said Paul, rejoice. We say, oh yes, it's okay for Paul, but I'm having a tough time. 2011, all that may be bringing. Paul was in jail when he said this. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. I was irritated a month or two ago by, well, somebody who irritates me very easily, I must admit, who persisted in proclaiming that there is no God. But it really did get me dwelling. There is no God. I don't want to be rude about him or anybody else, but can you think of a bigger load of nonsense? As we sit here at the beginning of a nice new year, there is no God. Around us, we see God. That planet that has been produced is God. There is no God. Date? 2nd of January. Year? 2011. 2011. That's interesting. Why 2011? Because the arrival of Jesus Christ 2011 years ago was an axis in history. There is no God. Jesus came and everything changed. 2011 AD. The coming of Jesus. We had the shortest day recently. Pretty obvious. Yeah, of course it is. But that day is always the shortest day. There's no doubt about it. When I was preparing, I looked up when the sun rose, and it was 7:49 on that particular morning some days ago, and it set at 3:54. It didn't arise at sort of 8-ish and set again at, well, late in the afternoon, 4-ish. 7:49... and 3:54, set, arise and set. We have got a world which is right to the nearest second. Global warming. I'm in no way being critical of the environmentalists, but God is in control. We've got fires and oil slicks. I will be very surprised if within the next year we don't discover that that oil slick, the BP one out in America, people say, my goodness, we thought that environmentally it was going to destroy everywhere for years to come. And yet it seems to be sorting itself out. I had a client some years ago in my business days who reckoned that he had found whatever the ingredient was in the water that got rid of oil. and he was trying to market it. He failed miserably because he hadn't got the right ingredient at all. But isn't it fascinating? The God who's created this whole world, who's created the oceans, that God is so well able to sort out the problems as they come. Fires, we say, we'll never recover from this. Lo and behold, a year later, well, actually, the fire destroyed so much, but it put it back into the earth, and now look what's happened. Space probes fascinate me. You see them going off at Cape Canaveral, and lo and behold, whatever number of days later, bang, they're able to glide down onto the moon. How come? How come? There is no God, said this irritating person. There is no God. How can we fire up these great rockets and let them float onto the moon? The reason we can do it is because we know exactly where the moon will be, exactly where the earth will be at any moment in time. Because what God has made, you go back to Genesis chapter 1, and day after day, God said what he saw was good. And he did this and this and this, and the fourth day, and it was good. And the sixth day, it was good. And if God creates something that is good, boy, it's perfect. There is no God. Let's be sensible. People often say, what happens to those people around the world who've never heard of Jesus? Well, Paul addressed that in his letter to the Romans. He said, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. Been clearly seen, and haven't they? The things we've just talked about, they scream at you. Being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. We'd be in a bit of a mess if the air around us slightly changed its constituent parts. I don't know what they all are, but if we had a little more oxygen or less nitrogen, we'd be goners. But it doesn't happen because we've got a perfect creation around us. How about the human body? One of the youngsters in my youth group of some years ago rang me a month or so ago with great glee to announce the 7-pound, 8-ounce arrival of Hannah. And was she excited? And every right to be excited. Within that little bundle, there is everything. Have you ever thought about it? That tiny little baby, hours, days old, has got within its body everything that's needed to live life, to grow. A most extraordinary package. That's probably the wrong word to use, but isn't it extraordinary? There is no God. There is no God. Show me where we've created life. We can't. We can do wonderful things, but we can't create life. There is no God. A good friend of mine from my business days retired early because his daughter, who was in her early 30s, contracted an illness. I can't pronounce the name of it. Very complicated. There's only about a dozen people in the United Kingdom have got it. And worldwide, I think it was 50-something people that are aware of. And it's a wasting disease. And she's, Alex, now in her mid-30s and struggles with almost everything. And when I spoke to her dad not long ago, he said, fantastic news. We've done some research and we've now discovered that a little, I call them particles, but I'm sure the medics will tell you that's not the right word, but this little particle, part of that particle has got in it some infection, some disease, something that we think creates this illness that Alex has got. And we're now able to concentrate. I said, my goodness, that's real microscopic. He said, oh, no. You can't see it with a microscope. There is no God. Within that little bundle of childhood, the number of things that are there, and they all work, and every now and again one tiny little bit goes adrift, and hence we've got the problem that Alex has got. What an immense bundle of, it's joy, but it's life. God creates life. And my dear friend, he still is a friend, said, there is no God. Let's move on from there. Jesus intervenes in life. Jesus intervenes. We see God everywhere around us, and to deny that, I think, is complete nonsense, absolute nonsense. But in life itself, Jesus intervenes. Do you remember the story of the jailer, Philippian jailer? Paul and Silas were in jail, a great earthquake, it all fell apart, and they walked out. And the jailer brought them out, and he said to them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Jesus intervenes. I won't go into the detailed story, because I'm sure I've told you this one before, but a chap that I met some years ago, a professional pickpocket, spent more time in jail than out of jail, and was practicing his job at Kennington Tube Station. 9:45 one morning, he'd pretty well finished his day's work, all the people had gone off to work, and he sat there and said, "My life is in a mess." And he went across the road to the big church, St Mark's Church in Kennington, knocked on the door and said, "Is the vicar in?" And the vicar was in. And Jerry Brindle was his name, said to me later, "Do you know, sir?" And I like Jerry, he called me sir because I was an accountant in the city. "Do you know, sir, I know what it was. I now know the vicar introduced me to Jesus." Jerry Brindle never picked another pocket again. In fact, he didn't knowingly commit any crime again. I don't know whether he exceeded a speed limit here. I wouldn't know. But his life completely changed. A life that had been nothing but crime, he'd spent more time in jail and correction centres than out of them, just changed like that. Jesus intervened. The amusing part of it was he'd never had a job before, so he actually started a stall in Brixton Market. And he said to me, "Do you know, sir, I've had to employ somebody to guard my stock because people nick it." And he didn't actually realise why I was laughing about it. But that was Jerry, and I met him because he'd been told he ought to join tax. Now, he was an honest man, he ought to join tax. And somebody said, "Well, Glyn McCauley, he's a Christian accountant. Have a word with him, see if he can help you to join tax." Jesus intervenes. Jesus intervenes in healing. I find this a very problematical area. If everybody I prayed for got healed, nobody would ever die. If they got to me quick enough, I'd pray and say, "Lord, heal," and they'd be healed. And so they'd never die. Well, that can't be so. But Jesus does intervene. People are healed. A very good friend of mine had a brain tumour that was killing him. He'd lost his sight, and Mike was dying. And that tumour reversed. And he was back, even driving his car for quite a long time. Why? I've no idea why. If I did know, I would be God. Well, yes, don't be silly. Well, no, I'm not being silly. We want to know the answers to these questions, but we can't. God knows. Why does he heal? I do not know. One of the great preachers and teachers of our country some years ago, David Watson, was struck down quite early in life, and everyone prayed and said, "God's going to heal him." And he didn't. John Wimber was a great American evangelist, very famous guy, again struck down. God will heal him. He didn't. Why? I don't know why. You don't know why. You're not God. I'm not God. What I do know is that Jesus intervenes. We all know, or many of us know, cases where Jesus has said, I am going to intervene. I'm going to heal this person at this time. There is no God. God is around us. Jesus intervenes in lives. In guidance, I could say so much of the wonderful things that I've seen of Jesus intervening in my life. Again, I told the story not long ago, I think probably in this church to some folk. Very simple, very simple. I got a prayer letter from a youngster in South America. And I read it and I thought, great, good for her. Not somebody I know well, I know her family. And God prodded me and prodded. And I felt I ought to send a small amount of money, which I did. 2 weeks later, I got an email back from her saying, oh, Glyn, thank you very much. Guess what? And here we go. Jesus intervenes. She said, Dad's looking after my money while I'm away. And we determined that we wouldn't dig into my savings. And Dad emailed me and said, sorry, I'm going to have to transfer a small sum from your savings to your ordinary current account in order to keep things going. And she said, the next day, I got the note from the Missionary Society to say that you'd given some money. And guess how much money you gave? The exact sum of money that Dad, the previous day, had transferred. How did that happen? I don't know. What I do know is that God was guiding me. Not very long ago, when dear Tony was in his last days on earth. Tony being our organist, our musician. And I was sitting at home one afternoon and I thought, I really must pop in and see Tony again. And it came back to me and back to me and back to me. And I put my coat on, got the car out in miserable weather, and drove over and parked near the hospital and went in to see him. Why? I don't know. God got at me and pushed me. God guided. He intervened in my life. And I thank him for it now, because that was the last time that I saw Tony. Jesus intervenes in lives, in healing, in guidance, in peace. Again, I could tell you so much of the peace that God has given to me. The passage that Anne read before, the peace of God passes all understanding. Can you grab that one? The peace of God passes all understanding. We sang about it earlier on. I could give you so many instances in my own life of where God has given peace. Again, I've mentioned the widow of a good friend of mine. I know both of them well. He died, and she said at his funeral, the peace I have, I'm distraught. He died very suddenly, but I've got total peace. I know exactly where he is. The peace of God, said that verse in Philippians that Anne read, transcends all understanding, and it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. And how much in today's world do we need peace? As the turmoil of 2011 before us, the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You'll be guarded. And then finally, there is no God. A couple of weeks ago, no, a month or so ago now, at our St. Paul's night, and Sylvester mentioned before the next one coming up on Wednesday, I forgot what the issue was, but this verse we looked at, and it hit me, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They'll be like a tree planted by the water. Easy to picture it. Sends out its roots by the stream. Doesn't fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It's no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. The tree planted by the water. And as we look now to 2011, just my last thought, Jesus is around us. Jesus intervenes. And Jesus works through you, through me. apart from the things we've just looked at, how is it that people today are going to know of Jesus? They're going to know of Jesus because of the life you live, because of the words that you speak. How can they hear, says Paul to the Romans again in chapter 10, unless there's a voice? What a wonderful thought for us here. If this sticks in your mind like it's stuck in mine, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. They will be like a tree planted by the water. Can we see ourselves as trees planted by the water? So no matter what the weather's like, drought, sun, whatever it is, the water comes through into the tree. There's always fruit. There's always fruit. What a wonderful possibility. Jesus in me. The scripture says, Jesus in me, the hope of glory. Let's see ourselves as a tree right by that waterside. Jesus through me. Jesus in life today. He's here. We see him all around. And my two comments as we finish, enjoy him. Enjoy Jesus. We sing a lot about it. Enjoy Jesus. Enjoy the peace. Enjoy the joy that he gives to us. And promote him. If you and I don't promote him, nobody else will. That's our role in life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the person of Jesus. Thank you for the certainty we have in you as we look around everything that's here. Thank you for the way in which Jesus intervenes. Father, thank you for the peace that we have, the joy that we have. And we pray that each one of us may see ourselves in this year as a tree right by the water. No matter what the climate may be, the water flows and the fruit comes. Father, be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Glenn. Let's stand to sing our final song from the Scholar of Above's Table.